Bless two or three people on your way down. Bless you, bless you, bless you. It is good to see you, to be with you. Anybody ever have those times that there is consistent difficulty that comes to you? You know what I'm talking about. It'd be like one thing, then another thing, then another thing. And sometimes it'll be like physical, then it'll be financial. And then your husband turns from the sweetest, most romantic Romeo in the world to better, but then the wife just really has a bad day. Do you have some understanding of what I'm talking about? It's just like there is a consistent, invisible pressure that is negative. And at times, things happen in those seasons that it gets almost overwhelming. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, so in the book of Proverbs, it alludes to that, and that's not the direction I want to preach, but I know that there are people in the room that are having that happen, and so I want to speak to it, okay? The book of Proverbs, or Ecclesiastes, Proverbs is when Solomon did it right. Ecclesiastes is when Solomon did it wrong. You see good and bad from the same fella, okay? And he has great wisdom. So when he talks about what it's like when life's going bad, he has great wisdom on what it's like when life's going bad. It's his own fault. He married so many women. Just let him. There's my friends are from Cajun. I have this Cajun friend. There's a Cajun saying that goes, let the goose peck you. Let the goose peck you. And what that means is if you keep doing stupid, then you're going to get the results of stupid. So just go ahead and let the goose peck you. Okay. No, but in Ecclesiastes, that is let the goose peck you. Ecclesiastes is here's a bad view of life that is not in the Spirit of God, but there's wisdom in it. Okay. And in Ecclesiastes, here's what it says. No man, and this is Hebrew language, it's 8:8 if you want to look it up, because it'll just say a wind, but it's actually in Hebrew, it's dark wind. No one can stop dark winds from blowing. That's what it says. It doesn't matter how good you are. Everybody think Jesus might have been a pretty good guy. Do you think he ever had some dark winds? I can show them to you in the Bible, okay? So no one can stop evil wind from blowing. That's what it says, okay? But there are, in the spirit, contrary winds. There are winds, and the Bible calls the Holy Spirit ruach, or wind. There is the wind of God that can match the wind of evil. So what will happen is, the wind of God will blow, the wind of evil will blow. It will blow upon your life. Then the wind of God will blow, right? And you sustain, just for a moment, you sustain in that tension, and what's going to happen is the wind of God is going to push out the wind of evil. It will be just a transition that's going to happen, and there are people in this room, we could just stand, pass the mic around, give testimonies. I was under the influence of an evil wind. It blew with consistency. It blew difficult. It was terrible. And then the wind of God blew, and when the wind of God blew, there was stress for a minute, and then the wind of God blew. Molly had a friend, and they were talking this week, and things were really bad. They prayed together. And in minutes, the wind changed. I go, okay, Molly, pray for me and my finances, that'd be a good one. Let's just have, instead of the wind taking money away, the wind would just blow money in. Anybody want that one? Okay, we're going to do that prayer after the service. It'll be 1995. That'll cause the good wind to come toward me. But if you'll do it, you'll be blessed. So just hang with me. No. It literally, let me give you an illustration, then I want to pray, and then I'm going to preach for a little bit, and then we're going to have the real service. The real service is going to be baptism over in the sanctuary. And I want to talk about what we'll do when we do baptism, then we'll go do it, okay? But we just had wind blowing in here today. We've had evil wind blowing in here. Our baptistry thing kind of messed up, and then our Ron wasn't standing back there because you all had bad breath. It is that the thing in the back broke, and so he had to look off of Larry. And I go, in a minute, this is just going to get too coincidental to be coincidental here in a minute, right? And I go, okay, so what? Let the evil, you're not going to stop evil wind, all right? But you can live good in evil wind, and the Lord will back you up. And there will be a time, you just endure that time, and then his wind is going to blow and everything's going to change. I'm going to give you an illustration. And I don't have the time, but I can. I study this in depth. You remember when Jesus was in the boat with the disciples, or they are in the boat and he's on the shore, he's watching them, and it says they were rowing against the wind. That's what it says. They were giving all their effort, the wind's blowing, they're not getting anywhere. And so Jesus goes, guys. And then he just walks on the water in the middle of the dark to where we're there. And I read that one time and I go, that's amazing. Storm means it's dark outside. Wind's blowing, thunderstorm. Somebody tell me what the sky's like on thunderstorm. We live in Indiana. We're the king of thunderstorms in the history of the planet. We know what they are right here. I went to the mountains. I lived in the mountains. I lived in Indiana all my life. I moved to the mountains, and I go, what in the heck is this straight down rain? I've never seen this before. Where I'm from, it rains sideways all the time. And the mountains stop the wind, and the rain just like gentle and nice and sweet. I go, don't do that in my house. It's like, right, we're so in the thunderstorm. You're an expert. What's the sky like in a thunderstorm? Yeah. So how is Jesus 2 miles away? They're in the water, they're rowing. Jesus is 2 miles away, and it says he was watching them row. Come on, Dan. How about this? You may not be able to see Jesus. And you're going through a dark thing, and Paul said it like this, it's like dark is over me. I see through a glass darkly. That's what he said. And you go, I can't see God. Let me tell you what God's never said. I can't see you. He's never said it. He goes, the wind's blowing, the storm's tough, you can't see God. It seems like I can't pray enough to get that evil wind to stop. Okay, let me just help you a little bit. You don't stop the wind, you tack it. And what that's a sailing term. And what it means is you just adjust your sail, and that which was against you will now be empowered for you. It's just amazing. So Jesus is watching them. He's watching you. He's got you. I can't get to him because I can't see him. Don't worry, he's on his way to you. Remember that? He's walking on the water in the storm. He gets to him. I'd love to preach it for about an hour. I'm only going to preach it for a half an hour. Then I'll preach my other sermon for an hour. No, he gets to them, guys, and here's what happens. He gets in the boat, and you can only John tells this story, and the Bible says, and they were on the other side. But here is literally what happened. It was 3 miles across. They had rowed 2 miles. When Jesus got in the boat, they are supernaturally translated to the other side. Okay? Here's what happened. The adverse wind stopped. If I can say it like that. And the wind of God kept moving. So what's going to happen in the storm is the dark is going to clear. The adversity is going to stop. And the wind of God is going to give grace to get you. Anybody ever feel like you're behind in the plan of God? And here's what's going to happen. In God's grace, you will get where you're supposed to be in the time that you're supposed to be there. We go, how in the world did that happen? And my favorite story is Jonah. God said, go that way. What way did he go? He went exactly the opposite way. And in the speed of a boat, he's going this way. And he's 2 days off. He should have been going that way 3 days. He's 2 days off going the wrong direction. Anybody remember that one? Storm comes. Sailors throw him off. And old fish Grace picks him up. Now, you think that whale was God's judgment. That whale was God's grace. If the whale hadn't grabbed him, he'd have drowned. Right? And then the whale travels at the speed of fish. Fish can go faster than a sailboat can or a rowboat can go. At the speed of fish, and just when it is supposed to be at Nineveh, bleh, that was the whale spitting him up. Right? The whale spits him out on the beach, and he's right where he's supposed to be when he's supposed to be there, because grace over, one of my friends says it like this, because grace overcame stupid. And he goes, when God was designing your destiny, he factored in your stupidity and the devil's ability, right? So I might have done something wrong. Somebody else might have done something wrong. The enemy might have done something wrong. All of a sudden, I'm under a cloud I cannot get out of. Adverse winds are blowing. Darkness is over me. And then grace blows in and enables me to be right where I need to be when I need to be there. Anybody need that one? I need that one today. That's a very important one. And so we're going to just pray, Lord, where adverse winds are blowing, would you counter them with your goodness? And would you give my friend, you could even pray for the person on your right or left. We're going to pray for them in just a minute. And would you just give my friend the grace to sustain in the midst of the resistance? Isn't that a good prayer? Father, just give them the grace to sustain in the midst of the resistance. Let your wind blow over them. We pray that where adversity has come to overcome, overwhelm, and to destroy them, that you would take it away and that you would release your goodness that will enable them to accomplish all that you've designed. Or there's sometimes evil strategy on an individual and on a family to stop the advancement and the purposes of your kingdom. And we just stand as a body together for one another against that in the lives of those in our fellowship. And we pray that you would release supernatural grace from your Spirit, that the blessing wind that comes from God would just blow over them, would counter the adversity, would give them strength to sustain, would enable them according to the mighty name of Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Is there anybody, you just have courage to go, I need that right now myself. Anybody? 4, 5, 6. It's wonderful to get it right once in a while. Every third or fourth time I get it right, and so it keeps me going. Good. All right. We're going to go Acts chapter 8, and I got a clock back there, and they turned it off on me, so that means I can just preach all day. Now, we're going to go to Acts chapter 8. I want to show you some unique thing. Mention a couple of common things about baptism, but I want to mention a unique thing, and it's shown mostly in Acts chapter 8. And if you'll go to Acts chapter 8, do we have big Bible up here? Do we have no big Bible? Okay, we can big Bible up here. It's Acts chapter 8. And here's the main thing. Baptism is a celebration, okay? And so we're going to have a celebration, a few minutes. We'll walk over to the sanctuary. Some people are going to be baptized. Here's your part. Your part is we'll take them down. Don't clap then. Then we'll bring them back up. When they have a breakthrough, they come through the water, they come back up, and they're standing there. We pray for them, and we celebrate resurrection. Because when someone's baptized, what we're doing is proclaiming the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Let me help you. I have a unique place. I'm the only one that has it in a wedding. And in a wedding, I am looking back at the congregation. The bride and groom looking at one another, and all y'all are looking at the bride and the groom. But from my perspective, I see the bride and the groom, and I see the audience. Technically, it is not an audience. Technically, it is witnesses. And here's what I see. Dearly beloved, we are gathered together here in the sight of God and his company to join together this man and this woman in the holy state of matrimony. Marriage is a gift that's given by God. Therefore, to be entered into advisedly and under the fear. When I'm saying that, there'll be some old fella been married about 107 years. Well, his wife has. He's only been married 50, but it's twice as hard on her, okay? There'll be a guy over on the left somewhere, been married 30, 40, 50 years. And when I say that, he'll slip his hand around his wife, grab hold of her shoulder. And somewhere over on this side, a young 40-year-old couple, you'll see their hands just come together when I'm saying we're gathered here. And those two young people looking at one another. And there'll be a lady. They thought their kid would be quiet during the service. And they brought their child. And all of a sudden, the child starts squirming. And mama grabs it. She knows she's married. but here's what's happening. We are not celebrating just their wedding. We are celebrating marriage. And I can tell the from right up here, Mr. So-and-so, will you take Miss So-and-so to be your lawfully wedded wife, to live together after God's holy ordinance? Do you promise that you will love her, honor her? I can tell the people that are fighting in the congregation from this place right here. You know why? We are celebrating marriage, not just a wedding. In a few minutes, we're going to go over to the sanctuary. We are celebrating baptism, not just those being baptized. When they are baptized, it is proclaiming what you have already experienced if you have been baptized. And matter of fact, Paul uses this word in Romans. It's an accounting term. He goes, in baptism, he goes, you reckon yourself dead and reckon yourself alive unto God, right? The Holy Spirit has never missed a baptism in the history of the world. So the same Spirit that is releasing anointing when someone is being baptized is releasing anointing among the witness. And I can go, yeah, I have already been baptized. That's what I meant. I just didn't understand it. How many people got married and you had no understanding of what you were doing? Nor did you understand that person that you thought you knew. Let me tell you what happened in your baptism. There is a person called Christ that you thought you knew, that will be unveiling himself throughout eternity. And we are proclaiming him forth when someone is baptized. And you don't know the miracle that could happen just by witnessing what's happening when somebody's being baptized. Okay? So that baptism is literally a celebration of the gospel. Does that make sense? So if you want points, I'll give you some points. Number one is baptism. We'll just call celebrating baptism. Number one, it is a celebration of the gospel, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. Okay? Give you 3 points, then we'll read this. Maybe I'll give you 5, then we'll read the scripture. Okay? Number two, I could give you 10. What I'm doing in my mind is cutting out the least important ones, okay? Number two is we are celebrating death. And you go, that's weird. But it's not weird. Because when Jesus died, he overcame the power of death to control human beings. Okay? So we are celebrating when someone goes down in the water, what Romans chapter 6 says, if we were baptized with him, we were baptized into his death. And then Romans 6 will say this, because you died with Christ, therefore sin does not have the power of dominion over you anymore because you died with Christ. That's some good news, right? Because it's through the power of sin, the Bible says, that the kingdom of darkness or evil will control, influence a person. But if sin's broken, then the power of the devil to control them is broken. And the Bible even says you're translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. And that's like some really good news. I've seen people that the power, and I'm not saying they didn't have work afterwards, and I don't ever want to say that, the power of addiction to control them was broken in the baptismal waters when they understood the power of the flesh to control me is broken when I'm baptized. Why? Because Jesus entered into death to break the power of death to control us. Does that make some manner? So we celebrate Jesus' victory over death. We celebrate the gospel. We celebrate Jesus' victory over death. Number three is we celebrate life, and that's the main thing we celebrate. When we celebrate baptism, the person is coming back, and we go, they've resurrected to new life in Christ. Whose name are they baptized in? Yeah, in Christ's name. We go Father, Son, Holy Ghost, because God said do that, Matthew 28. But in the book of Acts, they really focus on baptize them in the name of Jesus. Well, what does that mean? I'm not being trite. I'm being very biblical. Has anybody ever made pickles? Yeah. And there's something called osmosis. You put pickles in salt water in a brine, and what will happen is the juice that is in the pickle will actually move into the water, and the salt that is in the water will move into the pickle. It scientifically, they tell me that's what's happened. I've never seen it happen. I just saw. Anybody's mom ever make bad pickles? Come on. Let's pray for her. She's got to go live with her mom, because that's exactly what you do. When they come to the table, they're bad pickles. You go, Mama, these are as good as the last ones. They're really not. And everybody in this room has lied to their mama, telling her them pickles were good when they were not good. Okay. That is the word baptizo in Greek. And what it means is, so here's the question. Is the cucumber in the salt water, or is the salt water in the cucumber? Yeah. Okay, let me ask the question again. Everybody answer yeah. Is the salt water in the pickle, or is the pickle in the salt water? That is the picture. They knew this word baptizo, it means to immerse. That they knew that. That was the word. But what happens when I am baptized, I am showing forth that I have went into Christ and Christ has come into me. I can never be the old me again, because Jesus has taken up residence on the inside of me, and I have been placed by the Spirit into Christ. I will not be out of Christ again, and Christ will not be out of me. I have been changed forever. And so when I'm sitting in the back, and the enemy's whispering in my ear, and I'm feeling like I am not worth it or not gonna make it, and I watch somebody get baptized, something in my spirit jumps up and go, oh, I already did that. Yeah, Christ is in me and I am in Christ. We are celebrating his victory over death, and we are celebrating new life that we come into. So we're celebrating number one's the gospel. Number two is victory over death. Number three is we are celebrating life, okay? Let me just give number four, and we're going to stop with number four, and I'm going to jump on, read through this scripture. I want you to see something you might not have seen before, okay? Number four, we are celebrating kingdom allegiance. And I'll give you some background, and then we're going to read the scripture, and all of a sudden we'll go, oh, that's amazing. Back there on that table, there is a plate. That's our offering plate. You've noticed that we don't take up an offering, but you can, if you put money in that plate, we're not going to be mad at you. Just go ahead and put. And we have people, our people give offering, and they give tithes. They go in that plate right there. If you were in the first century church, the Roman government did not care who you worshiped or how you worshiped. All they cared about was when you walked into the building where our plate is in the entrance of a building would be incense and a fire. If you were a Methodist church, Wesleyan church, Moravian church, Baptist church, cult church, Buddhist church, Wiccan church. Roman did not care. Here's what they wanted. When you walk in, you take that incense, you put it in that fire, smoke would come up, and you would say, Caesar is Lord. They didn't care who you worshiped after you did that. There was this strange group, little cult, in the Roman kingdom called Christians. Christians were different than every other group. They would rather die than say Caesar is Lord. So they would have their meetings and they would go, we're not giving allegiance to Caesar. And the Roman government will go, we will dip you in tar, put you on a pole, and burn you, and party by the light of burning Christians. That's what the Roman government did. You don't want that to happen. Whenever y'all worship, just say, Caesar is Lord, and you can worship any way you want to. Because here's what they said. Your first allegiance will be to the kingdom of Rome. Every other allegiance, we don't care about. As long as your first allegiance is to the kingdom of Rome. Now let me show you what New Testament Christians would do. They had an act that said, we are not giving our primary allegiance to Caesar. We'll submit to Caesar. We'll pay our taxes. That's what Jesus said. We will pray for Caesar's leaders. We will try to live peaceable, and we will do the laws of the land and pray for the leader, but it's our secondary allegiance. Here's what they said. We have dual citizenship. We are citizens. They weren't. They were subjects. That we are subjects of Rome, but we are citizens of heaven. See, Rome didn't have many citizens. They had lots of subjects. Huh? You got, they come in, take you over, make you a subject. Jesus comes in, takes over. He goes, I'm going to make you a citizen. So they have dual citizenship, subjects of Rome, citizens of heaven. They had this act. You'll find it. As soon as people give their life to Christ in the Bible, what do they do? Four acts we know. Repent, believe, be baptized, receive the Holy Spirit. As soon as that happened, as soon as they gave their life to Christ, I'm giving my allegiance to Jesus. I'll show you every time, nine times in the book of Acts, people are baptized. As soon as they believe, what do they do? What did the church do? Baptize them. Anybody remember Philip running down to the Ethiopian eunuch? Ethiopian eunuch on the side of the road. Philip's preaching to him. He goes, what hinders me from being baptized? And he goes, nothing. There's a creek right there. Come on. Baptized him right there. Why? That's weird. Because baptism was an act of allegiance to a king. What they were saying is our primary allegiance is to Christ. We have died to ourselves. We have resurrected to live for him, and our citizenship is in heaven, and our primary allegiance is to our king, and his name is Jesus. And so in Galatians, you know where it's at. No, it's 227, I think. Either 227 or 327. 327, right down in Galatians 327. Here's what it says. As many of you as were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. And what that's saying is, you've put on your chest when you were baptized a patch that said, I'm from Hauser High School. It don't matter if the refs cheat. we still have allegiance to whatever. That was the Roman system. And here's what Paul says. When I was baptized, I put on Christ. I have an allegiance to Christ. I'm not ashamed of Christ. And that act was the act of baptism. Now, where I'm baptized in his name, meaning I'm now a citizen of his kingdom. I no longer have primary allegiance to Rome. I now have primary allegiance to Christ. Okay, I'll show it to you, and then we'll pray and head over to baptize. But I want you to look in Acts chapter 8. Sometimes we have not seen the kingdom dimension in the Bible, but I want us to look at it. So Paul comes in. He's working under the Jews, under the Romans. They are persecuting Christians. Philip goes down to Samaria. Sometimes what looks like your biggest trouble will take you where you need to be. And he goes to Samaria, and here's what it says. Philip went down to a city of Samaria, proclaimed to them Christ. The crowds with one accord paid attention to about what was being said. When they heard him and saw the signs he did, for unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many of them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed, and there was much joy in the city. He goes preaching the gospel. People are healed. People are delivered, and the city is joyous because he's been preaching the gospel. That makes sense? Okay, now we're going to go to 12. Verse 12, watch this. But they believed Philip as he preached the gospel about the kingdom and the name of Jesus. When he is preaching the kingdom and the name of Jesus, he is saying baptism is the sign of allegiance to a new kingdom. I'm not living by this world order. I'm living by his world order. And that kingdom was inaugurated in Christ, continues until it is consummated when he comes again. When I am baptized, here's what I'm saying. I have inaugurated. I've gotten married, but I got 20, 40, 50, 60 years of marriage in front of me. Okay, it's been inaugurated, and now this kingdom is going to develop even in me until it's consummated. This is so Christ will come back at the consummation of the kingdom. So he preached good news about the kingdom and the name of Jesus, and they are baptized into the name of Jesus. One more 3 points, and then we're going to pray. They are baptized into his person. They are baptized into his authority, and they are baptized into his power. And here's what you're going to watch in a few minutes. There'll be some people that we baptize in the name of Jesus. What we are saying is Christ's life, Christ's name, Christ's power, they go into it, and it goes into them. They die to themselves to resurrect a new life with allegiance, as an act of allegiance to the King that is Jesus. Amen. Good. And so when you sit back and you're going, I have this or I have this need or that need, and I celebrate their goodness. Yes, I celebrate the salvation of Christ in my life when I see it proclaimed in their baptism. Good news. Amen. Well, here's what we'll do. I'm going to pray. We're going to worship. If you have further need of prayer, I'll stand down here just for a moment. Those that are getting baptized are going to go back to prepare. Then we will go head over there. And we have a unique situation. Again, is our boiler messed up. And so the water is not super warm. I put a little bit of a warmer in it. They'll be okay. But the shout coming up, maybe it's God. Maybe it's glad. They're glad that they're out of the water. I don't know. One of the two will happen. Okay? We will go from here, and then you'll go over there, and we'll celebrate baptism together. Good? Let's stand together. Our worship team's going to come. Father, I pray. Yeah. This thing is just hard on me about people going through some difficulty, and your grace just being sufficient for them brings strength to them. I pray that your peace that passes understanding, goes beyond it, will be the peace that strengthens their lives in Jesus' mighty name. And Father, we bless those that are about to be baptized. We pray your grace to be over them, in them, and through them. We pray that the name of Jesus would be elevated because of their lives. As we come to submit them to you, and you come to bring grace to them, we pray an infilling, we ask an anointing, and an empowering by the Holy Spirit. As they're baptized by one Spirit into one body, we pray that the seal of the Spirit be strong over them, a fresh infilling, a fresh anointing, a fresh leading, in Jesus' mighty name. It's in his name we pray.